Welcome to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. We hope you enjoy the talk.
Today, our Bible reading is from Matthew chapter 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Amen.
Good morning. I have a question for you before we begin looking at this passage together today. Who is the most powerful person in the world? Okay, you got 30 seconds. Turn to the people around you. Who is the most powerful person in the world? All right, time's up, time's up. Until 2018, Forbes, the business magazine, published a list every year of the top 100 most powerful people in the world. So in that year, just to give you a selection of a few, Bob Iger, the head of Disney, was number 49. Rupert Murdoch was number 39. Elon Musk, 25. Theresa May, 14. And then Larry Page, the former CEO of Alphabet, the parent company of Google, was at number 10. I'm sure you're dying to know who made the top list. Here we are. Here, look at these lovely faces. This, in 2018, is the list of the most powerful people in the world. Did anyone get any of those right? A few hands. Well done, well done. Lovely as they are, we could take that down. Thank you very much. So these slots were allocated based on a few different things, human and financial resources that they had sway over, as well as their influence on world events. Yet, in the gospel reading that we just heard read to us, Jesus says that all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to him. Did anyone say Jesus? One person. Okay, well, the message of this morning is that Jesus has all authority on heaven and on earth. Make no mistake, when Jesus is saying this, he is saying, "I am the most powerful person in the world. I always have been and I always will be." But Jesus has all authority. And as he shares this, he shares that we are to be baptized, as our friends have this morning, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, to be disciples who make disciples. Father God, we thank you for your word. May you speak to us through it now. Give us ears to hear all that is of you, and anything I say that is not of you, help us to immediately forget it. In Jesus' name, amen. Why would these 12 be baptized today? We heard one person's story, and thank you for sharing it, and there are 11 more that I encourage each of us to hear over coffee afterwards. Maybe you know some of these guys personally, and maybe you are aware of some of their stories already. And for each person will have their own story, their own testimony, their own journey, and that will be true for you. You will have your own story and your own journey with God, your own reason why you would want to be baptized. And there are countless ways of articulating this, but I think for many, to choose to be baptized is to choose to agree with who Jesus says he is. To say, "Jesus, I'm taking you at your word. Jesus, I believe that you do have all authority, but you are who you say you are." And throughout history, people have thought they have had more authority than Jesus to be found wrong. The religious leaders of the day thought that they had the authority to remove Jesus, but they didn't. The Romans thought they had more power than Jesus, that they could silence him, but they couldn't. Even death, even dying on a cross, death seen as the most final act, could not stop Jesus. That's the authority of Jesus. We see this prophesied even in the Old Testament. I think the reading might come up on the screen, these words from Daniel 7. In my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. He approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. He was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All nations and peoples of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed. And in Matthew's gospel, the gospel we just heard of reading from, authority is a major theme. When Jesus is introduced as a teacher, he's introduced as a teacher who has authority. And when Jesus performs miracles, we're told that he has authority over all things, not just word, but also in deed. And then, when he talks with his disciples about forgiving sins, we are told not only that he does it, but he has authority. He alone has the authority to forgive sin. And finally, in his resurrection, that he alone has authority over death. And now he chooses to share it with his followers. It's something that all four gospel accounts have in common. This theme at the end that there is something of Jesus handing the baton of faith over to his followers. From the master to the disciples, Jesus to his followers. The power of the risen Christ is available to all who follow him. If he had no authority, he would have just been a great teacher. If he had some authority, maybe he would have been a prophet, but he had all authority. And so he was God. So he is God. Baptism only makes sense when we know this to be true. Otherwise, it's just a very public bath with your clothes on. Baptism only makes sense when we know that Jesus has all authority, that he is who he says he is. Being a Christian only makes sense once we know that Jesus has all authority. Because if he doesn't, why bother? Why worship him? Why spend our Sundays in church? Why live the lives we do? But if he does have all authority, if he really is who he says he is, if he really is the God of the universe, then that reorientates our whole lives, our whole priorities. Today, as we celebrate together, as we clapped and we cheered the 12 decisions being made today, we're also clapping and cheering for 12 people. This has become reality. Knowing Jesus as King has become reality. We're celebrating not just this moment, but the moment that Jesus became King today. So what? If that's really true, that all authority on heaven and earth has been given to Jesus, what difference does it make to your life? For all of us here, what difference does it make? For Jesus' disciples, he does something that people with authority and power very rarely do. If we think about the people we saw on the screen, some of the people we saw on the screen, some of the people we thought about. When people have power, they tend to use it. We're coming up to an election, and the would-be prime ministers will say, "Vote for me. I would like the power because I would like to use it." But Jesus, when he says that he has all power, he does something that leaders very rarely do. He shares it. He says, I have all the authority and all the power, and because of that, I'm sharing it with you. Now go. Because Jesus has all power, he chooses to share it. Let's read again from verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am always with you to the very end of the age. How does the power and the authority that Jesus has shared with you impact your life? What difference does Jesus' authority make to your life? How does it impact your work, your relationships, your savings and your investments, your calendar, your diary, your priorities, your ambitions? For the disciples, they were given a clear mandate. Go. Go and do this, because all authority has been given to me and I give it to you. Go and make disciples. Go and baptize people. Go and teach people to obey God. And so this here is the commandment of the risen King for all who follow him, that they must go and be disciples who make disciples. And 2,000 years later, that remains the same for us. No matter what your job is, no matter what you do with your life, no matter what your calendar looks like, you are to be a disciple who makes disciples. We need teachers who are disciples who make disciples. We need rock stars who are disciples who make disciples. We need bankers who are disciples who make disciples. We need stay-at-home parents who are disciples who make disciples. And that is the mandate that was given 2,000 years ago, which is being reminded to us here in Leeds today. We are to be disciples who make disciples. And then Jesus tells them this. He says, I will be with you always to the end of the age. The promise of the risen Christ is their comfort and their stay. Nothing shall ever rob them of his presence. He doesn't say everything is going to go to plan. You'll have loads of money and life is going to be really easy. 2,000 years have showed us that's not the case. But he does say, I will always be with you. My presence will always go with you. And so our baptisms today, and for those of you who were baptized, thank you for sharing that moment with us. We've witnessed a response to this instruction of Jesus to go and be baptized. Jesus tells his disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, just as we have today. And in baptism is a physical response to what God is doing in our lives, as Lizzie shared. And Jesus teaches us that in baptism, it's a way that we physically respond to what God is doing in our lives, to the authority of God that we recognize. And now what? Well, today marks the start of a new chapter for each of you who've been baptized. And what happens now? Where do we go from here? For each of us, where do we go from here? Again, as Jesus comes to the end of his time on earth, he says, surely I am always with you to the very end of time. God's promise is that he will always be with his disciples. And there is something deeply ironic about this, because he's just about to go. If someone said to me, hey, don't worry, I'm never going to leave you, I will always be with you, and then ascended into the sky, I would think that I had been done, that I had been tricked, and I would be pretty disappointed, also amazed that someone is flying into the sky. But that's exactly what we're told happens in the gospel accounts. But Jesus says, I will always be with you until the end of the age, and then ascends into heaven. Was it a prank? Did he really mean it? Was he just being ironic? No. Jesus really meant that he would be with them to the very end of the age, as he is with you and I. Jesus sends his Holy Spirit that no matter where we go, no matter who we are, God is with us. He meant it entirely. Speaking candidly, I don't know if this is true for you, but it is true for me that there have been times where God has felt very far away. In moments of pain and disappointment, of crisis and disillusionment, God can feel very far away. And Jesus never even goes as far as to say, that's not the case, but it doesn't feel like that. But he's telling us, regardless of how it feels, I am always with you. I will never leave you. But his presence is always with us. And when we take another step back and we think about the Gospel of Matthew, it starts in the beginning with the promise of a baby to be born who will be called Emmanuel. God is with us. And it finishes at the end, at Jesus' ascension, with Jesus saying, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. In every season, in every moment, Jesus' promise to us is that he is with us. When Real Madrid beats your team in the Champions League and you cry, and your wife doesn't understand why, God is with you. When things don't go to plan, in loss, in bereavement, in isolation, God is with you. And that's his promise to each of you who've been baptized today. He speaks over you, I am always with you, always. I'm always with you, always. Because God does not commission and then leave us. He commissions us to be disciples who make disciples, and then he remains with us. And so in that sense, it's impossible to do something for God. But actually, when we do things for God, we do things with God. So if you want to start a Christian group with your friends or at work, you're not doing it just for God, although it might feel like that, but you're actually doing it with God. When you're going into work, when you're going into school or college or the job center or wherever you might be going, you are not just going there alone, but you are going with God. His presence is with you and before you. Today, these people who've been baptized have made this huge step of their faith, and we thank you again for sharing it with us. It's been a privilege. It's a response to God's call, his invitation to baptism, and so rightly we celebrate as one church, as one family. And so, again, as you've made this step, he speaks over you, and he speaks over all of us. Surely I am always with you to the very end of the age. And so for each of us, no matter the situation or circumstance we find ourselves in this morning, Jesus speaks these same words. Go, be disciples who make disciples. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the St. George's Leeds Sermon Podcast. For more talks or information, visit stgs.org.uk.